Hello and welcome to Focus Asia Pacific. I'm Keith Perron. Coming up in this special edition, we're putting the spotlight on HIV/AIDS in China, a country where official figures of those infected seems a lot lower from estimates from NGOs, including the United Nations. This is Focus Asia Pacific, putting the focus on the Asia Pacific. The official Chinese government estimates of those infected by HIV/AIDS in China is around 500,000. Many NGOs have said the figure is much higher. The problem is China rarely lets private international organizations into the country to do independent studies on the true situation. In the 1990s, hundreds of thousands or even millions of farmers and peasants were infected with HIV through state-run blood collection programs. The problem was the needles and equipment was contaminated with HIV. Since 2009, there has been an increase of people infected. In China, the groups that are most at risk are drug addicts and prostitutes. In 2007, state media in China reported that 8,000 people have died from the disease. But in 2008, they admitted that the figure was five times higher. The government has been trying to get the problem under control. But in a society where there's a lot of stigma attached to HIV/AIDS, and where people are reluctant to talk openly about safe sex, this is no easy task. Billy Stewart is with the China-UK HIV Prevention Care Project. They work closely with various government departments in China and receive funding from the UK to educate people and fight the disease. My first question to Billy was how he ended up in China working for the group.
Because I had done I'd done some work studying of Chinese in the UK, and I wanted to move over into health. I felt that that was an area I wanted to work in, and so I wanted to see what was happening in China. And at that time, there was a lot of Chinese experience on public health work throughout the 50s and 60s, which was written up and was well worth having a look at.
Now you've also, like you said, been back to Europe in that period of time. Is there a difference from public health in Europe and here in China?
Public health here is still developing as a discipline. The balance between technical approaches and approaches that are really going to impact on the health of the population, and that's what public health is about. It's trying to find things that aren't maybe always the most high-tech, zippy, with loads of lights on kind of approaches, but actually will impact on the health of the biggest number of people. And I think that's still developing, and that's still a balance that is being found here in China.
Now, after you left China and went back to Europe, what kind of knowledge did you bring with you to do the work that you're doing in Europe? Because you're working in the field of sexually transmitted diseases.
Yeah, I was working in the field of sexually transmitted diseases and HIV and AIDS prevention. I learned quite a lot in China about how to do health education. There's a lot of interesting experience here on health education, on taking messages to the people. So that was all useful learning that I put into my work since.
So when you went back to Europe, having been here for a while, was it a bit shocking going back?
Well, I went back. I'd been here a couple of years, and I went back. Was it shocking? In a way, yes. I've always found it harder to go back to Europe than to come out to China, if you see. I think I find the culture shock is more when I go back to the UK than when I'm here. In a sense, I think I protect myself here. When I go back to the UK, I expect everything to be really easy, and sometimes it's not, because you've been living in a different place and experiencing different things and dealing with different people. And so when you go back, you expect it all to be very, very easy and just to fit in again, and sometimes you don't.
Okay, now you're the Technical Cooperation Officer for the China-UK HIV/AIDS Prevention and Care Project. How long have you been doing this, and was this something that you had created?
I have been doing this particular job for about a year and a half now. But I've been working in the field of HIV and AIDS prevention in China for over 4 years.
Now you started in for 4 years now. What was your interest to get involved in this?
Because HIV and AIDS is a problem the world over. It's also a problem in China. And I think it's very important that China and Chinese people realize the importance of preventing HIV and AIDS before it's too late. So I think it's there's a lot of work that we need to do to make sure that people here understand what is HIV and understand and know how to protect themselves.
So, Billy, what kind of things have you been doing before you started working with this prevention and care project?
After I finished my studies at Beijing Medical University, I went on to do a project. I was working for a project run funded by the European Union, working together with the Chinese Ministry of Health to train doctors and public health professionals on sexually transmitted diseases. So I did that for a few years, and that was China-wide. So we did a lot of training courses in different provinces to try and improve understanding and work practices related to sexually transmitted disease.
As you know, here in China, that sex is still somewhat of a taboo subject. Did you have any difficulties in educating people in the prevention?
You obviously have to be sensitive and take things and bring in information about sex at a speed at which people can deal with it. But, you know, I always find that people are much more able to deal with talking about sex than sometimes we think. That
right.
People, everyone talks about sex a lot of the time. So it's actually, people are able to deal with that and able to talk about it. And because it's related to their health as well, they want to know about it. And Chinese people want to have more information about HIV. And we find always that the work we do in our project has a great demand for information.
So definitely the interest has been really high since you started doing this kind of work.
Oh, yes. There's been much more media attention on HIV recently. So I think a lot of Chinese people know that there is this disease and they know that it's here in China, but they don't quite know a lot about how it's transmitted or how to prevent it and what the means are of prevention of HIV. They want to know more about that. They want to know more about condoms and how they know a good quality condom, where they can get them. We find that people have a great demand, a real demand for information.
What were some of the myths that you heard when you first started doing this kind of work from people? Was there anything that was sort of shocking or that wasn't surprising in any way?
I think when we first started, there was still a feeling very much that HIV was a foreigner's disease, that it was nothing to do with China. And I think slowly over the last few years that people in China have come to realize that it is here, that Chinese people are at risk from HIV if they keep risky behaviors or if they don't protect themselves. So I think that myth is breaking apart.
And since you've been doing this work now, working in this field for just about 4 years, what has been the effect of it?
The effect of that work? Well, we have seen knowledge begin to grow, but I don't think we're doing enough. I think we really need to increase the amount of work that we're doing. We need to make sure that information is out there through every channel, that we get information on HIV, on sexually transmitted disease, through the media, so that people know and they know how to protect themselves.
Do you find it different, though, for example, if you're talking to the younger generation than the older generation, or in different regions of China, is there a different way of thinking about it? Or do you have to approach it differently, depending on where you are and who you're talking to?
Yeah, some different parts of the population are more conservative than others, and that's something that happens in any country in the world. It happens in my country too. Older people sometimes find it more difficult to talk about issues around sex or around condoms, and young people actually want to talk about those things and they want to find out about it. We had a very interesting experience in a workshop recently we were running in Sichuan, where we had some sort of older officials and sort of experts in talking about whether or not young school children can talk about HIV, and they were worried that school children would be too embarrassed. And then we invited in a whole group of school children, and they said, yes, we want to find out more, we want to know more about this thing, we want our teachers to support us to know more, we want our parents to help us to find out more about this information about HIV. So yeah, young people are very open to it and want to find out more, and we should let them we should let them have the information they need.
So there definitely is an interest then with the younger generation about prevention and what precautions to take.
Yes, that's right. How can they protect themselves?
All right, Billy. Let's talk now about the Prevention and Care Project, which you've been working with for just over a year now. Where do you get its funding, and whose idea was to put this together?
The project is funded by the United Kingdom government. We have a ministry in our government called the Department for International Development, which does which handles a lot of the UK government aid to other countries. So that's funded, but it's a cooperation project, and it's managed by the Chinese Centre for Disease Control, together with a whole committee of different ministries at the national level, including the Ministry of Health, but trying to bring in other parts of the Chinese government which are also related to HIV, but maybe in ways that you wouldn't think about. So public security and justice, family planning, civil affairs, bringing in all these different kinds of ministries who can do work which will impact on HIV, and trying to really promote their involvement in HIV work too.
You're listening to a special edition of Focus Asia Pacific, looking at the situation of HIV/AIDS in China. If you'd like to contact us to let us know what you think of the program, our email address is pcj@pcjmedia.com. Stay tuned, we have more with Billy Stewart coming up.
How closely do you work with the Chinese officials with this project?
Very closely indeed. I sit within, my office is within the Chinese Center for Disease Control in the National Center for AIDS Control. I sit there with my colleagues. The project office is nearly all Chinese. I'm the only foreigner that sits in the office. And it's really managed by that group of people. I just give advice and try and make sure that in doing the work we follow a lot of international experience, because there is a lot of international experience which is relevant for China.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mainly work in two provinces. In fact, you just got back from Yunnan. What were you doing in Yunnan province?
I just came back from Kunming, where we were having a meeting of different projects on HIV, because people might know that the HIV epidemic really started first in China, in Yunnan province. That's where the first sort of big numbers of infections amongst drugs users were found. So there's been actually a lot of experience there, and there's a lot of valuable experience in Yunnan that the rest of the country can learn from. So we were having a meeting of different projects on HIV to try and share our experience and see what other projects had been finding in trying to prevent HIV and also care for people with HIV infection.
Mm-hmm. And what is the care like for those who are infected with HIV and do have full-blown AIDS? Is it the same as you would find in other countries, or is it different?
No, I think that's really an area where we need to do a lot of work. What we often find is people with HIV are heavily stigmatized by their communities. The communities find it difficult to accept them. People are often quite worried community members are worried that they might get it. So they often shun people within their communities with HIV infection. In those circumstances, it's very hard for people to find care. And then on the other side, the kinds of clinical care we can provide, I think a lot of doctors because it's a new disease, they never really studied about it. So they're not aware of what they can be providing. And there are many clinical things that can be done, treatment for the opportunistic infections that people who have HIV get. So I think there's a lot of significant work we can be doing there.
So it sounds to me that one of the most challenging things is to change people's attitudes towards those who are infected with HIV or have full-blown AIDS.
Oh, sure. And that's why it's so important to get information out, because HIV is actually... It's not an easy disease to contract. It's not spread through day-to-day contact. You don't get it from sharing a swimming pool with someone. You can't transmit HIV through shaking hands or eating with someone or drinking out of the same glass or using the same toilet. None of these things will transmit HIV. But unfortunately, a lot of people still believe that they can, or are still worried in their dealings with people living with HIV. And I think it's important to change change those attitudes, because otherwise it's always going to be hard for us to really talk openly about it and about the disease and really reduce it in China.
Now, in many countries around the world, they have toll-free phone numbers that people can call up for information or surf on the internet. Has anything like this been set up with this project yet?
We haven't set up a hotline for the project, but there are hotlines available in China.
Now, with getting media attention, how do you approach radio and television or newspapers? Do they come to you, or do you have to go to them?
I think it's a bit of both. Obviously, media want to know more information. It's a topic that people are interested in. Mm-hmm. So we often find that when we have meetings or training courses, that media are willing to attend. But we're also trying to work more, because we see media as an important ally in the fight against HIV. So we're also trying to work more with them. So, for example, in about a month's time, we're funding a tour of people working for CCTV and also the Ministry of Propaganda to go to Thailand and have a look at some of the work that's going on in Thailand. And we hope through things like that that we can allow more journalists and more media people to know about HIV and to report about it. But to report about it positively as a disease, but a disease you can do something about and not just as something to be very terrified about.
There's a report recently that I read from the United Nations that said for years Thailand, the disease was rapidly spreading, but recently they've actually somewhat got it under control because of the programs that the Thai government has put in place. Are some of those ideas going to be introduced here, or because it's China it has to be done differently?
No, we are using quite a lot of Thai experience, especially in some of the work I've said about care, but also in prevention, how you promote condoms. Thailand is a world example of how to really, for the government to support the promotion of condoms so that people know that they should be using them to protect themselves in their sex lives. So there is a lot of experience in Thailand, but on care too, how you set up community-based care, how in communities that maybe aren't extremely rich, you still provide clinical care for people with HIV. So we take a lot of our staff from our projects to Thailand to see the work they're doing there, and increasingly we also try and bring Thai or other Southeast Asian experts to China to help us with our work, because we feel there's a lot of information in the region that can be used.
Do you work with any international organizations that assist you on your work here?
We do. We have a resource centre, an international resource centre, which is based in an organisation called Family Health International, which is an American-based technical agency working specifically on HIV and reproductive health. And we work with their Bangkok office, and they help provide a lot of experts and a lot of documentation. Because although in HIV we find time after time that it's extremely important that the kinds of work that you do has to fit the local environment. So if you want to work in China, you have to find things that are specifically Chinese and work and really work with Chinese agencies. But a lot of the strategies internationally are valid, and we have a lot of experience internationally to know what works and what doesn't work with HIV prevention. We know that condom promotion works. We know that health education works. We know that getting young people to educate each other, we call it peer education, so training young people to educate their friends and colleagues also works as an HIV prevention tool, and we can get a lot of those running in China.
Now, you're only in two provinces here in China, and the group's only been around for just over a year. Are there plans then to go into other areas and other regions of China?
Yes, we're only in two provinces in China, but it's what we have to also remember is that we're in two provinces with the combined population of about 2.5 times my country, the United Kingdom. So there's, even though it's only two provinces, there's an extremely large population of people to get information out to. So I think our work is cut out for us, even in the short and medium term, to provide really good programs in those two provinces. But we hope to be able to provide information that can be used by other agencies. So a lot of the work we're doing, we're going to be writing up, making available in reports or over the internet, so that other agencies working in other provinces can learn from that, and we can all move forward together.
Now, do you hope that this project then would influence other projects by other organizations to start up in other regions of China to say, look, this is the work that we've done. You can use us as a model for what you want to set up, let's say, in Guangzhou or wherever else?
That's right. And we are working as a project and as the UK Department for International Development with other agencies based here in Beijing to try and develop a common framework or a common strategy so that we can all move forward together and we can use each other's experience. And people who want to develop work, maybe us, maybe other people over the longer term in other provinces can do that, but on the basis of work that's already gone ahead. So we're talking at the moment about developing a more strategic way forward.
What are some of the projects that you're going to be working on for this year and next year, or is that still in the planning stage?
Some of the projects, we are trying to do increasing amount of work with drugs users and providing education out for drugs users and really to push on, for example, training ex-drugs users to be able to teach other people. And we find time and time again in HIV work that sometimes the most credible educators aren't people in white coats or doctors or experts, but they're people on the same level as you. So what we try and train young people to teach other young people, and we're trying to also to train drugs users to teach other drugs users about HIV, because drugs use is still the cause of the majority of reported HIV infections in China at the moment.
A program that's been very successful in South Africa was to get those who are infected with HIV talk to young students and to talk to people about prevention. Is that something that's going to be done here?
We would like that to take place, yes. And there are the beginnings of groups of people with HIV coming together who are willing to be that kind of resource person. It's been difficult up until now because of the amount of stigma that existed against people with HIV. But increasingly, there are people who are willing to stand up and say, and talk about their experiences as someone living with HIV. And there's a small organization that's beginning to be set up here in Beijing at the moment. So those kinds of, we're very interested in supporting those kinds of things because, yes, as you say, if people with HIV can talk about it, it's so much more impressive for other people. It puts a face onto HIV up until they see someone with HIV. Often it's a very vague kind of threatening thing. But once you actually know someone with HIV, you realize that the people who have HIV are people like the rest of us. I remember my attitudes first really changed when I was living in London and I rented a room in a house and my housemate was someone who was living with HIV. And until then, I'd also been kind of quite frightened about it. But then living with this guy over a couple of years, I realized he was just someone like the rest of us and trying to go to work too, but living with an illness whilst he was doing it and wanting support in leading a normal life.
That was Billy Stewart from the China-UK HIV Prevention Care Project. If you want more information, you can visit their website, www.chain.net.cn. Once again, www.chain.net.cn.
You can hear PCJ Radio while on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free news, talk, and entertainment mobile app available for your smartphone. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find Stitcher from the App Store. Then, during registration, hit the promo code box and enter PCJ to get automatically entered to win $100. For more information, go to www.pcjmedia.com and click on the Stitcher logo on the right menu. PCJ Radio on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio.
And guess what? We're at the end of today's program. Once again, if you wish to contact us, our email address is very simple, pcj@pcjmedia.com. Once again, pcj@pcjmedia.com. If you wish to listen to this program again or catch past editions, go to the website, which is www.pcjmedia.com/FAP. Once again, www.pcjmedia.com/FAP. Also, by the way, if you're on Facebook, do a search for PCJ Radio, PCJ Media. Click on Join the Group, and then you can find out information about upcoming programs that we have, not just for this show, but all other PCJ productions as well. So on behalf of everyone that helped put the program together, this is Keith Parent wishing you all, hoping that you join us again very soon for another edition of Focused Asia Pacific, putting the focus on the Asia Pacific. Bye-bye, everyone.
Hi, I'm Peter Anthony Holder, and I would like you to join me for a very eclectic and different kind of radio show. It's called the Stuff File Program. Where else would you get to hear a well-renowned Hollywood acting teacher, a best-selling science fiction writer, a guy who teaches llamas how to be golf caddies, or the man who has Hitler's toilet, all wrapped up with some of the oddest news stories around? It's a rhetorical question. There's only one place. The Stuff File Program with me, Peter Anthony Holder. There are various ways to catch the show. You can find it at my website at peteranthonyholder.com. Check out my blog at peteranthonyholder.blogspot.com. Find it at cyberstationusa.com, radioforall.net, or simply subscribe to it on iTunes. You've forgotten all those places already, haven't you? Okay, just Google the title. It's called The Stuff File Program, and stuff is spelled S-T-U-P-H. Catch it, enjoy it, and have a chuckle or two. The Stuff File Program with me, Peter Anthony Holder. Radio will never be the same again.
This is PCJ Radio on 88.2 FM. This is PCJ Radio on 107.5 FM in Nairobi, Kenya. And nationwide on 5. This is PCJ Radio on KBCT in Waco, Texas. This is PCJ Radio on 9955 kilohertz to Latin America. This is PCJ Radio on 7590 kilohertz DRM. On shortwave, satellite, and the internet, this is PCJ Radio. Call the PCJ answer line at country code 4420. 3286-1399. That's country code 4420-3286-1399 and leave your comments and questions. On shortwave, satellite, and the internet, this is PCJ Radio.